Here's Andy Udman.
7 minutes now after 11 o'clock. Folks, this is a tough topic to, not to understand, but to wrap your head around in terms of admitting that it's real, that the problem is as serious as some are suggesting it is. I have a cousin who is 2 years old. He's at the Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto, and I'm almost afraid to open my email each day because I'm afraid he soon won't be with us. He's dying of cancer. He has fought a heroic battle, and each one of us could tell a similar story. A friend who has cancer. Why? We have so many other ailments in society today, and we're really, really starting to have a hard look at what it is about our lifestyle in North America that gives us a breast cancer rate, for example, 10 times that of other parts of the world, even China with its horrendous pollution in its major cities. So we're looking at all suspects. And this week, there is a hot spotlight on an area that you don't want a hot spotlight on. And it's that object on your hip. Guys, it's that object in your purse, ma'am. Or, as we understand some of the young ladies, the object in your bra, where some young women keep their phone. Wireless radiation. Just the term makes you shudder. We should mention that there is a hearing on this week at which there is a testimony from those who have health effects from, they believe, wireless radiation. It's being held in Ottawa, Royal Society of Canada. And we are honored this morning to have an award-winning scientist join us. Her name is Dr. Deborah Davis. And I think she's such a special guest. She's not only an award-winning scientist who is the president of the Environmental Health Trust and now visiting scholar with United Health One at Berkeley Goldman School of Public Policy. She's the author of a book, Disconnect. She's one of Peter Mansbridge's most favorite interviews in his book, One-on-One. I could go on and on, but I mean, she's such a special guest. I've asked my health and nutritional consultant on Thursdays, Pam Colleen, to join me with the introduction. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Good. I appreciate you joining us because you understand more than all of us what a special guest Dr. Davis is.
Oh, yes. She's one of my heroes. In fact, I have a copy of her book, The Secret History of the War on Cancer. I have it right in my hands right now. I bought it back in 2007 when it came out. And I could see that she was a trailblazer. I could see that she was brave and she wasn't going to hold back in terms of the research she's done with regards to a lot of the environmental toxins that we're being exposed to today.
Well, this week the focus is on wireless radiation, and Dr. Deborah Davis, we welcome you to the show this morning.
Thank you so much, Andy and Pam. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, but I'm not sure we're going to enjoy all aspects of what you're going to tell us.
Well, we want to tell people how to be safe rather than sorry, and we have a lot of information here that we need to share. That's why it's really great that you're giving this the attention that it needs, and it's terrific that the new organization is formed in Canada concerned about radiation safety.
Tell us about that growing support for the notion that maybe we need to do more to protect ourselves against wireless radiation.
Absolutely. There's a group called C4ST, Canadians for Safer Technology, that has been led by Frank Clegg, the former president of Microsoft Canada. And they basically want the world to be safe enough so that people who are more sensitive to electromagnetic fields can go out publicly and not be concerned about what they're going to be exposed to. We at Environmental Health Trust have been tracking this issue for many years. And as Pam knows, in the last chapter of my Secret History of the War on Cancer book was called Presumed Innocent. And in that book, written in 2007, I asked if we had enough safety information about cell phones. Now, I have to confess, at the time, I myself was not as well informed as I've become, and I owned three phones. And it was the birth of my first grandchild that changed my world in many ways, because that little boy was so bright that at age 9 months, he could crawl over, pick up a phone, turn it on, and find a game and play it. And at first I thought, wow, I have a brilliant little grandchild. But then I began to look back at what I knew from the work that I'd done on cancer, and what I knew and what the Canadian government understands now is that when it comes to tobacco or asbestos, we really should have acted sooner. And what I saw as I looked at what we know about cell phone radiation and wireless radiation is that we really know a lot now that indicates that there are really important things we can do to reduce our exposure while we continue to study the problem.
But before we do that, Doctor, we have to be convinced that there is an issue, and we are so married to this technology, we don't even want to listen.
That's, you know, you're absolutely correct, Andy. But, you know, we have to listen now. There's a bunch of books that have come out documenting the extent to which we are changing the nature of human nature with these devices. People don't realize that when they give these devices to young children, the young child's brain is actually modeling how it's going to work for the rest of our lives. And that brain doesn't have full protection of its brain cells from something called myelin, which is a fatty protective sheath that grows around all of our neurons. And that brain needs all the protection we can give it while it grows in the first year of life, more than doubling. So we need to protect the young brain. And the idea that there are thousands of apps now designed for infants and toddlers in cribs is absolutely inane. That's why just yesterday, the American Academy of Pediatrics issued an advisory statement warning that children should not have more than 2 hours a day of any time in front of a screen, and repeating its advice that no child under two should have any screen time at all. In fact, there's an expression I would invite you to share: children need more lap time than app time.
Mm. And Frank Clegg and people like yourself who are out there warning people about radiation, you're not really anti-technology. You just want to make sure that this technology is rendered safe. And right now, of course, there's just a lot of potential problems going on because of the intensity of the radiation that we're being exposed to.
Pam, that's very well said. That's exactly what we're trying to do. The word is safer technology. We recognize this technology has revolutionized particularly the developing world and made our lives better in many ways, like our ability to respond to emergencies. At the same time, we also understand that a cell phone is a two-way microwave radio. In fact, the term radio frequency radiation, radio frequency energy, is a bit misleading. Microwave radiation is what is involved here. And microwave radiation is quite similar to radar radiation. Now, what if we called phones radar phones? You'd be looking at it quite differently than with the term cell, which sounds quite innocuous. And we think there are some simple precautions people need to know about that they can take. Let's start out with something. If either of you has an iPhone, does either of you have an iPhone?
I have an iPhone.
Yes. No?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go to your settings on your iPhone right now, Andy, and I presume that it's on airplane mode or on silent.
It is not on airplane mode.
Okay, well, go to your settings.
I'm sorry, it's in the newsroom. I don't physically have
right.
it. So, but
well, if your listeners could go to settings on their phone, and then they would go to general, and then the top of the screen is about, the bottom of the screen is something called legal, and the next thing is RF regulation. And that's where you will find buried inside your iPhone the statement that the phone should not be kept directly on the body. And in fact, it says, quote, keep it at least 10 millimeters away from the body. Now, mm-hmm. that's inside your phone. And so the first thing we tell people is never hold the phone directly against your head or body. It's not a good idea. Beware whenever a signal is weak, which is often the case when you're traveling or when you're in a rural area, because when the signal is weak, your battery drains. And when your battery drains, the signal goes into you. Because the way the antenna is configured in a phone, it's symmetrical radiation that comes out of it. When you hold it smack against anything, including your body, half that radiation gets into you. So beware of a weak signal. Don't keep it on the body. And, of course, protect children and the pregnant abdomen. But also, men who want to become fathers need to know that cell phone radiation reduces sperm count and impairs the health of the sperm they do produce. And there are many studies that show that. This is not just one study demonstrating this, including work at the Cleveland Clinic. Finally, we tell people don't sleep with your phone, for goodness sakes, because while you're asleep, your phone is not. And phones are programmed to look for a signal every 900 milliseconds. That means no matter where you are, no matter that you're not using your phone, so long as it's on, it's asking for a signal. It's sending radiation to a tower and receiving radiation from a tower. And again, half that radiation gets into you. we also need people to understand that corded landlines are safer. They're secure. When electricity power goes out, you still have your phone working. And more importantly, cordless phones emit microwave radiation 24/7. So if you must have a cordless phone, and I encourage people to get landlines, as does the Israeli government, please keep it far away from where anyone is sleeping or spending much time in the base station. And of course, we do all understand the importance of not texting while moving. And I mean biking, rollerblading, skiing, as well as driving. So putting all of this together, there are ways to practice safe phone. And what I'm working with some scientists on now, some of the America's top breast surgeons have put together now 6 cases of young women with very unusual cancer. Breast cancer that occurs in women as young as 21 in the center of the chest where they kept their cell phones for 8 years.
Mm.
These doctors are so concerned that they phoned me when the first case was picked up in 2009 and said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. This was Dr. Robert Nagorny. A healthy, young, Chinese-American woman came in with no known risk factors, no genetic tendencies toward the disease, and she had a very unusual presentation. Breast cancer normally occurs in the upper outer quadrant toward the armpit. Her cancers were more than one tumor, and they were all exactly in the center of her chest where she had kept her phone.
Why does it take so long, Dr. Davis, to get these warnings out to society so that people can take extra precaution?
Well, as Andy said, I think we are all hooked in a way. And by the way, that being hooked, it turns out, might be physiological as well as social. There seems to be a binding with the opioid receptors from studies that have been done in animals. You can actually get animals conditioned to cell phone signals, and if you give them a drug called naloxone, which we give people when they've overdosed on heroin, to block the opioid receptors, it blocks the conditioned behavior of the animals. So that does suggest that microwave radiation is binding to the opioid receptor.
Mm. Wow. I should tell you, Doctor, that the first email we got since you've started talking reads this way. Andy, thank you for talking about this. I work in airplanes. I've been suffering so much from this. I worked in planes before Wi-Fi, never had an issue. Every day it's getting worse since Wi-Fi has been introduced. You have mentioned cell phones. You have mentioned corded, going to corded phones instead of phones that, protecting yourself when it comes to like the DEC 6 phones. Now this horrendous suggestion that keeping a cell phone in your bra is a very dangerous thing to do. Can you go through the technology that all of us use or our friends use? Can we make a little list of all of the technology that we need to give some thought to in terms of how it may be affecting us, everything from baby monitors to clock radios? Give us the list, if you would.
Well, I appreciate the email that was sent in, and I certainly think that anyone working in the airline industry right now should be on high alert. Let me just say that there's a promising line of research that I want to share with all of your listeners, and this does relate exactly to what Pam has been doing for years. Nutrition makes a huge difference in how the body responds to toxic insults. And studies have been done where we take damaging microwave radiation and expose brain cells to it, and then we first expose those cells to melatonin, which is what the body makes at night. It's a naturally occurring antioxidant hormone that we produce when we sleep. Or we expose them to an extract from green tea, polyphenol, and we can see that there is significantly less damage to those brain cells that first get the green tea extract or melatonin. And what that suggests is further evidence for what Pam and I have been saying for years, which is that you can repair damage, you can protect against damage, and you may be able to prevent it by ensuring that you do all that you can to get a good night's sleep, sleep in the dark. Eat your fruits and vegetables, as we've all been saying. Drink green tea. There's even further reasons for all of these things. And in the meantime, what we have to do is identify these sources of exposure. So here's a few of them. Laptops are no longer called laptops because they really are never tested for being held close to your body on your lap. A study has been done with a laptop placed over petri dish of sperm, shielded for heat, because we know heat does damage sperm. And even so, the wireless radiation from the laptop does damage sperm. So you don't want to have a laptop on your lap, and they don't call them laptops anymore. They are tablets, right, or phablets, or with them. So always keep it on the desk or have a nice big book or briefcase between you and whatever personal device you're working on. That's number one. Baby monitors really are overused, and they should never be very close to a child. If you have a really, really sick child and you need to leave the room, then keep the baby monitor feet away from the baby. The most, I think we are at Environmental Health Trust starting a contest next month for the stupidest Wi-Fi ideas. And one of them is a baby monitor that allows you to go a block away from the baby and still hear it.
Wow.
Another,
but they're marketing cell phones to children, very young children as well.
There's another is a plastic baby iPhone rattle case that will, on the box, it says, protect the phone from the baby.
Oh, my word.
So here's the deal. If you must give your child a phone because you have to distract them, put the phone on airplane mode because that's when it's neither receiving nor sending radiation. And actually, you can do something really radical and turn it off.
Absolutely. You don't play with your children or grandchildren on an iPad?
Well, my oldest grandchild has an iPad that is never given to him except when it's on airplane mode and he can look at it on a desk. He doesn't sit with it over his growing reproductive organs. Absolutely. And I'm very concerned about this idea that we need to give all children tablets to learn with. This month's Scientific American has an excellent article that explains why the brain learns much better with paper. And the ability to learn things just from digital presentation of information is actually not proven. And here we are embarked on this great experiment with no controls again.
Yeah, they're showing that we have shorter attention spans because of the digital age. Yeah.
And one of the things we know about the developing brain is that children need eye-hand contact. They need to learn to write. They need to hold a crayon in their stubby little fingers and learn how to coordinate and make script. That's part of what we do to wire our brains to learn higher things. And if we skip that so that all children learn how to punch onto a keyboard, we are going to be affecting their brain growth.
Doctor, we're almost out of time, and there's a couple of things I still want to cover. Pam and I have discussed this many times. We're seeing more and more private schools. None of the public schools that we know of yet are actually removing a Wi-Fi from their school. They're going back to hardwiring everything. Do you think that's what we're going to see more of in the future?
I think there's no question that wired is always better than wireless. It's safer. It's more secure. And it prevents the long-term health consequences, without doubt. The other thing we need to know is that children need to interact with pen and paper and pencil. And so putting that all together, I think those schools that are getting rid of wireless, particularly for young children, are moving in the right direction. I would let you know that the Israeli government's health ministry reviewed the evidence and issued a formal recommendation more than 2 years ago that wireless should be used with great care in the environments of young children and recommended against its uniform application.
Let me jump in because we're almost out of time. Two key issues. We have had on the show an airline pilot, Melissa, she lived in London. She had to quit her career last March. She's had to leave London now because of microwave radiation. She went to Grand Bend. They built a tower there. Now she's looking for another place to hide, literally, from this radiation. And yet, when we have her on, people are disbelieving. They say, well, I have all this technology, and I'm not feeling anything. So what fraction of us, what percentage of us are sensitive to this and could have health effects?
The answer, really, Andy, is we do not know, and we've got to start asking the question. And so that's why I've proposed $1 a phone fee in order to create, for 5 years, a massive training program. Because most physicians have no training in electromagnetic fields, and most electrical engineers know nothing of medicine. We need to have a training program, and we need to fund the research, and we need to monitor people. If cell phones were a drug, they would be illegal. They've never been tested for safety. They've never been proven to be safe. I'm pleased that the U.S. Federal Communications Commission is finally acting and asking whether it should change its 17-year-old approach to cell phones. That's when standards were set, when the average user of a phone was a military man or doctor. Now we have billions of users around the world that are very small, with no protection, and even though the technology is changing, we have no way to know what's happening.
30 seconds left. You said if cell phones were a drug, they'd be illegal. What a shocking statement. Okay, so are you going to lead the crusade to claw smartphones out of the hands of 15-year-old girls?
Well, I'm not going to claw anything, but I think the groups like the Canadians for a Safer Technology are moving in the right direction. I think we have to work together to make these things safer, because phone technology can be changed. And the companies know that. They're going to make safer phones, and we need to make sure they do it as fast as possible.
Wow.
Now, your website, you probably have a lot of these tips on your website, which is ehtrust.org. That's ehtrust.org for Environmental Health Trust. And in your book, Disconnect, as well. Do you offer a lot of the tips in your book as well?
Absolutely. And we say how to protect your family. And the simple things are, distance is your friend. Beware of a weak signal. Do not sleep with your phone. Corded lines are better. And, of course, don't text while moving.
Wow.
Perfect.
There was a time when goalies in hockey did not wear helmets. It was unthinkable that they would. We can make things safer.
Absolutely. We used to have cars without airbags or seatbelts, and we need seatbelts and airbags for phones.
Doctor,
and I thank you both very much. I look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you
so much.
Dr. Just a parting word, Pam, about Dr. Deborah Davis and what she had to say.
Well, I think she's brilliant, and I think that she and other people like Frank Clegg are doing some very proactive work to help protect citizens, and I think it's going to take a grassroots effort to get some of these actions put into play.
Absolutely. Pam, thank you so much for joining us. 11:30 News Update. When we come back, can you handle two warnings in 1 hour? A mom who's been in the studio, Heather Gingrich in Ingersoll, has launched a hunger strike against the Thames Valley Public School Board because of what's in the water your kids are drinking every day. Heather will join us in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
With my asthma.